Welcome to Rise Up in Business, the law podcast for small business owners. This podcast is designed to share important legal information without the stuffy legal jargon. I'm Tracy Mylacrane. Let's get into today's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Rise Up in Business podcast. Today's podcast episode is a little different. I'm joined by a guest today, and it's been a while on the podcast since I've had a guest on. But you know those conversations that you have with people, and they're just such standout conversations, and there's such a synergy to it that you just wish you could bottle it and you could share it widely? Well, that's how I feel about the many, many conversations I've had with today's guests over the past year or so. I'm joined today by Anthony Nader of Raw in Surry Hills. Anthony is, without a doubt, one of Australia's most respected and in-demand hairstylists, and he owns and operates his own salon in Surry Hills in Sydney. And you can Google Anthony widely, and you'll soon learn that Raw in Surry Hills is dubbed the most luxurious hair salon in Sydney. Oh, I've been a client of Anthony's now for well over a year, and I can honestly say that title, the most luxurious hair salon in Sydney, is very well deserved. So my 3 hours every 6 weeks or so in the salon are soul rejuvenating. I cannot say it more highly than that. The reason I wanted to have Anthony on the podcast and why I'm so excited to share this episode with you is because Anthony has built a stellar brand personally and professionally since he started out in hair many years ago. And he opened Raw in 1997. And the level of consistency in the execution of this business is mind-blowing. I say that as a service-based business owner, and I say that as somebody who supports small business across a range of industries. And there are so many things that small business owners struggle with, and continuity and consistency is most definitely one of them. But that is something that Anthony doesn't struggle with because his team are consistent, his service is consistent, and they are constantly at the top of their game. So how does he do it? It's really interesting, the answers to the questions that I ask, and I'm going to jump back in here at the end to recap for you. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I do. And just a quick public service announcement, there's some really fabulous information, which is not necessarily business related at the end, that I was really keen to share with everybody because it's been transformative for my life. And you'll hear more about that at the end of our chat. So I hope you enjoy this chat that I have with Anthony, and I'll be back in at the end. Anthony, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I have been looking forward to this so much.
Thank you. Well, we have been talking about this for a while, haven't we? But we finally made it happen, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And I'm so delighted. You know, I think it would have just been such value for listeners if we had have just recorded some of the conversations we've had in the chair over the last year or so. But we haven't, but you're here, and I'm delighted to share this conversation with my audience. So thank you very much. The first thing I want to share with people is that most people are not going to know about you is that you too, like myself, grew up in a very small town.
Mm, I did. I grew up in a place called Maruya, which is 302 kilometres south of Sydney. So on the south coast, so near Batemans Bay, that's where I grew up. My family is all there still. But yeah, I was there literally to do my apprenticeship because my sister was a hairdresser and she owned a salon. So I knew the day that I had finished my apprenticeship, which back then was 4 years, that I was out of there. So I worked at the local ice cream parlor for 4 years on Sundays, and I cleaned my grandmother's yard every Saturday after work. And then the day I finished my apprenticeship, I moved to London via New York just a week to go to this club. And I had never really been to a club. So imagine going from Maruya / Batemans Bay RSL to a club that was in Times Square that was designed by Jean-Paul Gaultier and Terry Mugler. It was called Club USA. So this was back in 92. So there you go. And I wanted to spend my birthday, because I'm a huge Madonna fan, as all my friends and family know. So I wanted to spend my birthday outside her house in New York. So, and then I moved to London.
Wow. So a passion that started in the family, small town, and then it's quite literally a story of the world is your oyster and the rest is history, so they say, for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get so frustrated with these kids even today that just think that doing hair is just for standing behind a chair in a salon. And I've never ever thought of that box ever.
I suppose that's why, or I suppose the question is that why you have been able to build a business which is known as, for all the publications, everything I have been able to find, Raw in Surrey Hills is dubbed frequently the most luxurious hair salon in Sydney. And I wanted to talk to you about this because you have built a business that has a stellar, outstanding reputation, and your reputation precedes you in sense that it's not national, it's international. You're a global name. But you've built this business, which is a service-based business that you love, and you have been able to sustain being at the top.
Well, I mean, it's a full-time hustle. It's not for the faint-hearted. You know, I've been hairdressing for 31, 32 years. I've had the salon this year for 26 years. You know, I've won all those awards. I only ever wanted to win them once, never wanted to enter them again. And then my husband, who I'm still with today, shipped me off to New York to fulfill my creative dreams in 2007, I think it was. And over there, I just did photo shoots and did fashion weeks and all that kind of stuff. So he's an incredible man. You know, I thought I'd only be there for 1 or 2 years. I just thought I'd get it out of my system and do a Victoria's Secret show here or there and the odd fashion week and everything. But 10 years later, and I actually went back last May, my green card was expiring. So I thought it'd be fit to go back last May and have kind of a cathartic kind of moment and see all my friends and just say goodbye to my green card, because I didn't want to renew it. America's changed a lot. The industry's changed a lot. And Sydney's home. Sydney's always been home. My husband was always here. So I used to do month on, month off, month on, month off. And I did that for 10 years. And my agent over there knew when I was in town, so they would book me on shoots. And when I was home here, I never really shot here a lot because just the gravity of the caliber of work that I was doing over there. I just wanted, when I came back here, it was to be in the salon, to be with my team. And I still think to this day how lucky and blessed I was that I could get on a plane. And because I saw so many people in my industry just literally turn around on the next flight out of JFK. And it was hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think that's a whole other podcast, but it was hard.
So what I'm hearing you say is that what has been so important for you is the people that you've surrounded yourself with, your husband first and foremost. And you've mentioned team. And so this is what I want to dive into with you, because you have built such an extraordinarily successful brand and business. How do you stay on top? And what's really coming out from what you're saying here is the people that you are surrounding yourself with is pivotal in your success. Would that be right?
Yes. Yeah, without the people in my life and my team in my salon, I call them a team or I call them my family, because they are. They really are, because I would not be where I am today without my raw family. You know, the salon is a very well-oiled machine. And to be really honest, when I lived there, I feel like I was more present when I was away, even though I was in the salon here. But I was on Skype every night. I would shoot at least 5 days a week, probably even six. So when Sydney woke up, I was just literally finishing a shoot. And then I would be plastered to my dining room table in my small studio in the West Village. And I'd be glued to Skype till at least 1 a.m. every night, well, 5 nights a week. And then I'd go to bed and then wake up and I'm back on. So, but not complaining, because once again, how many hairdressers got to do what I got to do? None. So yeah, it was hard. It was hard, and it takes endurance and it takes hustle. And I didn't sleep, because you don't go there for a good time. You go there to climb not only a business ladder, but it's a personal growth ladder too. You know, I grew a lot in that 10 years, and it changed the way I looked at hair and I played with hair. It changed the brand of hair that I did, you know?
Did you have clarity around your objectives when you went? I know you said that your husband put you on the plane and you had this amazing lifestyle of back and forth and you got to live out your dream. What was the intention when you were doing that? Was it to build my skills, I'm coming back, this is what we're going to achieve? What was it? What was the clarity you had or the objective you had when you were doing that back and forth for all those years?
Self-growth, number one, because for me as a business owner and to feed my team knowledge, you can't be stuck behind a chair. I take my hat off to hairdressers that can do that. I've had hairdressers in the salon over the years that have tried to dabble in doing editorial studio work, and sometimes it doesn't work for them. So what I've realized is I believe that I wear two hats very well. I wear a studio hat and I can perform that kind of hair. And I know it's a different network of people, if you will, that's on set. And then you've got your salon community, your raw community. So I then have to put on a different hat and I know how to do salon hair, so to speak, but it's with an editorial edge. And the times have changed quite a bit. You used to have hairdressers that have said, I want to do editorial and I want to do this and that and that. So I would let them come on shoots with me. And plus they would dabble in their own thing. But pretty well, a lot of the time, you're either good in one or the other. I found that a lot of my team were stronger in the salon.
And that's where their strengths are from what you're saying. That's where.
Yeah, it really is. I think that I can definitely execute both really well. And I'm no spring chicken either. So I know what works. Do you know what I mean? Like I know if I'm not comfortable with doing, like if a shooting client, a new one says to me, hey, Anthony, we want to do this. Can you do this with the hair? Which, great example, 2 weeks ago happened to me. A photographer reached out to me and I said to her, look, I'm going to be really honest with you. I know we've just met. Me being on this shoot isn't going to do you any favors because I can't do that hair. It's a waste of not only my time, but it would be a waste of her time.
This is really interesting that you have such awareness in the context of your skill set and you're able to say no. This is not something that's common.
Yeah, well, I am a yes man, trust me. I will grab every opportunity available, but it needs to be the right model for a start. And look, Tracy, I just know what works. And, you know, I'm not 20 anymore. I know what is going to be a good turnout and what isn't. You know, last Monday we shot our annual RAW collection. And this photographer that I worked with, I knew that he could execute the look down to a T. He can do it with his eyes closed. And I've worked with him many, many times before. I know that he can bang this one out. Whereas I thought of other photographers, which is what I do. I think, well, what photographer can I get to do this? And I just feel like a lot of people in the industry know what I do, the hair that I can do. And I think that's also where things like Fashion Week come into it. And I love going backstage still to this day because, you know, I was just in Paris in July for the shows. And I love going backstage because you know why? It scares the hell out of me.
Still.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've just said so much that I want to unpack. First of all, you've niched. You've got such a niche. And I'm going to ask you, and I know the answer is going to be yes, but what I'm going to ask you is, has this led or has this supported you in your success? But you've niched. Your skill set, you've niched. You've identified what you do well and you've identified what you don't do well and you're not afraid to say it. So that's the first thing. The level of self-awareness you have is inspiring. And I love that. But can you talk to me about the fear? Because just about every single business owner that I work with at some point or other will say to me, imposter syndrome, can't do it, not good enough, all the things. So for you to say to us that you love going backstage at Fashion Week because it still scares you, can you just share a little more about that? Because this in itself is, I'm finding, very surprising, but so reassuring for listeners to know as well that if this happens to you, tell us about that.
God, yeah, it's a rush for me. I think it's a love-hate relationship doing shows overseas. I do it because if I can learn one thing, I can take that back to my team. That's most and foremost why I do this. Me for self-growth, but to pass that down. So, you know, when I worked on the Givenchy show in Paris just in last month, I'm sure people will look at the picture on my Instagram account and just say, well, that's just a center part and it's just dead straight. And it's like, well, no, it's not actually. There's such a technical method behind how you get that so flat. You know, to do things like that, for me, there's an accomplishment of, it's a technical sense, I guess you could say. Yes, I know it. Yes, I've done it before. But here is the new version, I guess you could say, of how you execute. If you've got a million hairs on your head, how can you squash that in so it's this beautiful, clean shape? You know, and it's got shine to it. So, you know, and that's what I teach all my guys is you can't take shortcuts. It's all in the prep. So if I can learn something, if I can learn that one thing off that hair director, that to me is invaluable and it's worth that flight over to whether it's Milan, Paris or New York. And just those models are, I mean, all those girls. I actually only do the shows because of the models. I don't go to see Anna Wintour backstage. You know, those models are my celebrity, if you will. I get more out of tweaking whoever's hair. That's what I get off on, is having this famous model that's in my chair compared to a celebrity, to be really honest.
That's so refreshing, and I knew you would say that. What's really coming out loud and clear to me from this conversation is two things: that you have such a deep passion for what you do and you are proudly a lifelong learner.
Yeah. Well, I get that off my dad too. I think my dad is a really, he's a strong guy and happy and yeah, he's very determined and very, very positive.
I don't think it's something you can teach. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I can only teach my guys so much in the salon. You know, it's like on Saturday I came to work and I said, and I say this all the time, you know, if there's a new show that just came, runway show that went live overnight or whatever, and I'll always say this, I'll say, so on Saturday I said, oh my God, guys, did you see the front cover of French Vogue? And they'll just look at me blank. And I'm like, really? I'm like, it's like groundbreaking. It's like Hayley, seriously. So we have this kind of fun, you know. So if a show comes on, it's like, oh my God, guys, did you see the Fendi show? And they'll go, oh, I missed that one. I missed it on my feed. It's like, okay, we'll recap later on. So I think for me as an employer, I don't get angry at the guys. I think a lot of business owners would have given up maybe, but I just think it's just nice that we're all on the same kind of level, you know.
I hear you talk so often about your team and I see with my own eyes how you treat them, your attention to detail, not just with your craft when you're doing hair in the chair, but with the team and the way you've got an eye on everything that goes on in the salon when you're there. There's a really deep commitment to your team. And I can honestly say I haven't seen that before, but there's some really clear ingredients coming out here. And I want to ask you, would you say a deep commitment to your team, your commitment to yourself and your personal growth, and true passion have been pillars that have led to your success or that help you stay at the level that you are? Would it be fair to say that?
Yeah. I mean, you would agree that I'm pretty anal.
Your attention to detail is like nothing I've ever seen. I see you work. I see you work. I'm sitting there. I know it. So not only for me is coming into the most luxurious salon in Sydney, it's a three-hour experience of just rejuvenation. People would pay for this type of day spa experience, but just the way that the team are and that you are and your attention to the detail, you don't need to think. Just let you do your thing and you leave.
Well, it's a lot of training. And over the years, I have educated all around Australia with companies, and I've seen firsthand what employers are teaching employees. And I've seen the broad spectrum of salon life, if you will. But I don't know. I think for David and I, he came from working in hotels.
David's your husband.
Yeah, and he worked for Qantas International. I mean, to be really honest, I didn't plan on opening up a salon at all. It's funny, I had an interview come out just recently in a hair mag, and the publisher is a friend of mine, and she was flying from Queensland to Sydney. She was sitting in the same row as my mother-in-law. Those two got talking. One of the questions was, why did you open your salon? I said to David, I'm just going to give her the truth. I just don't care anymore about sugarcoating why I opened up my salon. So I actually said in this article, I said, I came back from London and my first employer died. So coincidentally, his friend just came back from Paris, who was also a hairdresser, that was opening up a salon in Darlinghurst. So the first salon I worked up in Oxford Street was Paddington. And back then, if you didn't work on Oxford Street, back in those days, you weren't considered like worthy, if you will. So his friend had just come back from Paris and he opened a salon in Darlinghurst and he died. So now what I will say about the second employer, he really gave me the foundation. He used to shoot Australian Vogue, like literally every front cover. Like, he was incredible. So I was his first assistant. So I guess you could say this was really my beginning of my editorial career, which Robert had taught me. So I used to go out on shoots with him all the time. And then I'd only be in the salon like one day a week maybe and get paid literally nothing. Back then, the beauty would be that you could say when Vogue came out, of when Kate Zambrano or someone was on the front cover, which was a big deal back then. It was like, well, I assisted on that shoot, which then in turn got you more work. So David and I kind of thought, well, why don't we just open up our own salon? So that's what we did. So I asked my mum for money, and it wasn't a lot at all. We opened up on Oxford Street in Darlinghurst in 97. So that's how I basically opened.
So how then, if I say to you, how did you go from that, opening up a small store, which you didn't intend to do, and you've got this salon, to being everywhere named the most sought after hairstylist in Australia, the most luxurious salon in Sydney. You've maintained that standing year in and year out. How do you get from here to here? What would you say are your ingredients for that recipe for success?
Honestly, it's just hard work. It's just good old-fashioned hard work. I come from a family of workers that have had their own business. I think COVID was really interesting, and I just thought, I don't want to sink, you know, so it's either a sink or swim situation. So many business owners felt the same, and we would all tell you that we've never worked so hard in our lives to stay abroad and keep our doors open.
There's no shortcuts. That's what you're saying. There's no shortcuts.
There really isn't. I never sleep, and I'm constantly thinking about how we can evolve and how do we stay current. And
so it's always active. It's always active, and it's always happening by the sound of it.
Yeah, and I think it's really up to you. I mean, I just do me.
You do you, and I love that. There's a real authenticity about you that has been, you just ooze authenticity from the very first time we ever even met, and I love that. I want to just dive in quickly and talk to you about something which blew my mind, and I want to share it here. So we're going off on a little bit of a tangent because, yes, we've talked about the small business and the success and how you've built it and your brand and all of the things. But LTN, you said to me in the chair one day, we were talking about silk pillowcases, and you educated me on MOM and 25 MOM, and I didn't know what it was, and my jaw was just dropped. Anyhow, I'm now a proud owner of an LTN silk pillowcase, and I had to get it for myself to see.
When?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I just went and ordered it and used it because I already had one. I had a silk pillowcase, and I thought, I want to see for myself if this is actually the real deal. Is this different or not? Is there actually anything in this? And I know lots of women that swear by silk pillowcases for the face and the hair and all the things. Well, I actually still wasn't convinced. I've got to try it for myself to actually know. Is there a difference, really? I know that this is what Anthony says and you read about it, but is there a difference? And oh my God, chalk and cheese, game changer. After the very first night, I thought, I have to tell Anthony this, and I hadn't shared this with you yet.
When did you buy it?
After our last session together, I came back and ordered it, and it arrived, and it actually makes a massive difference. And I know that this is really important for women to know, and I know it's not just talking about business. We've talked about pivoting and your passion, and I've quizzed you on why you started LTN, and we'll put the link in the show notes, and so I know why it's important to you. But can you explain, please, for listeners, because I can't do it justice, what's MOM, what is it, and why is it important?
Oh, gee, I feel like I'm the press release time.
It's just important information, and I want to do a public service by sharing.
Thank you. I was actually saying to a client last week, because she's a model, actually, and she does linen. She does sheets and pillowcases with a linen and silk fiber, which I thought was really interesting. So we got talking about, it's called Mommy. So M-O-M-M-E. Okay, to cut a really long story short, why we bought out the pillowcases first was, first and foremost, no Australian hairdresser has done that yet. So we like to be a bit of a leader that way. Secondly, any Australian hairdresser will bring out a wet line first, meaning shampoos, conditioners, blah, 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 blah. We were going to go down that route before COVID, and we had it all lined up, but I was actually bringing out five styling products first, because the beauty industry know me and the journalists know me for editorial, for styling. So to stay authentic to me, I was going to bring out styling products first, even though it's like, well, what's my sea salt spray any different compared to Joe Blow's? So the other thing about putting out, you know, I see these hairdressers that bring out like 20 units straight away. I know where they got it made. I know the bottle costs 2 cents. Everything is just really, it's just like manufactured and put together. And that's not me. And that's why it's taken me so long to bring out what we did, because it needs to be authentic. So we had everything ready to go anyway. So the pillowcases and the heat stylers were always in the vault. It's just that no one knew them. Even our heat stylers we would use at the stations, but without LTN written on them. We had bought every pillowcase you can imagine over the years. So we had slept on every pillowcase you can imagine. When you're looking at, and this is the big thing that consumers need to look out for. Yes, price is a biggie. I totally get it, right? If you can buy a Mulberry silk pillowcase for under $70, you're doing very, very, very well. The downside of that is it has a mommy count, that's thread count, the density will be probably under 19. So mommy goes from 11 to 25, 11 being the lowest. So in the back of our mind, David's and my mind, we think, well, it needs to be 25. There's just no question. It has to be the highest mommy, because that's what the industry expects of me. And that's what the beauty girls, they expect it from me. So when you look at certain pillowcases on the market, big brands, they're only 19 to 22 mommy. And, you know, you can buy those pillowcases in Sephora and Mecca and those places. I mean, their websites are incredible. Let's face it. Their websites probably cost $1 million, right? So we unfortunately don't have $1 million. So we just thought, well, we just need to make the best pillowcase, which was 25 Mommy, and we just need to stay true to who we are. I don't think we will become millionaires over it, but there's a lot of love and passion that went into the mulberry silk, and David and I went into a big silkworm hole for years to think of how we can get the best out of our pillowcases. And our pillowcases are $99. If you look on the market, Slip, which everyone buys, is like $95. So we just pride ourselves on being Australian owned. And I'm the only hairdresser that in Australia that has done that, and probably the world. I don't know, actually. I should find that out.
Well, that's consistent with your brand, though. It's so loud and clear, just listening to you talk. And I can tell by the look on your face, which listeners can't see, that you're just sharing a story, but it's so consistent with your authenticity, your passion, and your brand. So everything you do is consistent. And this is a common thread through everything, which I know I and lots of business owners can take a lot away from. But just share, I can share my experience from actually using it. But why is 25 Mommy important?
Because it's the softest, because of the density. So if you've got highly bleached hair, for example, wouldn't you want to sleep on the highest Mommy factor thread count available, which is 25, compared to 11 or 16 or 19 or 22? I mean, I'm all about quality and I have high standards. So for me, that's why it was like 25. It's a no-brainer. Absolutely. And I know that a lot of mainstream companies are 22 and they say there's not a lot of difference between the 22 and the 25, but it really depends on how damaged is your hair. How do you want to look after your skin? Are you looking at reducing your fine lines on your face? Do you want your hair to slide on the pillowcase of a night instead of rubbing up so it's got friction? There's lots of benefits to a mulberry silk pillowcase, but you've got to buy the one that has the highest Mommy factor. And that's what consumers don't know. So I say make an investment, spend that extra money, and your pillowcase will last.
And I can say, speaking from experience, that it absolutely does make a difference. And my blow dries last so much longer beautifully with my new 25 Mommy pillowcase. And I could tell also by the look on your face, you didn't know I was going to ask you about this, but I was just so excited to share this because I genuinely think it's a public service announcement. And I know that so many of my listeners are going to find this really helpful. So thank you so much. Thank you for your time, Anthony, on coming onto the podcast. It's been such fun talking to you. And I just know that just these little nuggets of goals that you've peppered through what you've shared are so valuable for so many. So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hello again. I hope you enjoyed that. I really enjoyed hearing Anthony's backstory and just listening to him talk so naturally and organically about his business and his art and his craft. But the takeaways from me, there were many, and I'm sure there are for you too. But just understanding the commitment he has to self-growth, that he still experiences fear, and the commitment he has to his team are key elements of how it is he's been able to stay at the top for so long. There is no doubt there's a passion, and there is no doubt that he's consistently authentic and not afraid to show it. I loved that Anthony shared with us that he still experiences fear, because I know that's something that so many small business owners grapple with. And it was refreshing to hear someone like him say that so openly and comfortably, because hey, if it's okay for him, it's okay for us. And we need to stop being so hard on ourselves when we're struggling with some of these things in business. But the pivoting, the being true to yourself, the consistency, being anchored to his brand and quality throughout his entire career are clearly some of the biggest takeaways. And the LTN business that he has, Love Thy Nader, I love that, and the pillowcases, I just had to share that because so many women I talk to find these silk pillowcases to be really important. And I thought that I had a really great one, but since learning about Mommy, clearly I didn't. So I know that there'll be people that find this really valuable, and that's why I wanted to share it. We'll put some links in the show notes. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode today and that you've been able to take some little nuggets of gold away to help inspire you in your business journey and give confidence when we need it sometimes. Self-doubt is real, but we've heard Anthony's story and I think it was really inspiring. As always, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for your time. I'll be back here with you next week.